Governor Tony Evers is proposing spending $3.8 billion on building projects around the state, with nearly half going towards work across the University of Wisconsin system. It's Wednesday, March 1st. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Sean Johnson has more details on the governor's proposed capital budget. And we've got a piece from Wisconsin Life about how the state became a leader in the production of frozen pizzas. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Governor Tony Evers released a capital budget yesterday that would be the state's largest in at least a decade. But as Sean Johnson reports, it would still keep borrowing down.
When the state funds capital budgets, it typically bonds or borrows for them. Evers' budget would still do that, but by much less than in recent years. Instead, he'd use a share of the state's budget surplus to pay for more projects with cash. Borrowing would be lower than it's been since 2015. Almost half of the money would be budgeted for the University of Wisconsin system, where projects would include a new engineering building and upgrades to the Camp Randall sports complex. Elsewhere in state government, the budget would fund everything from new data cables at the state capitol building to upgrades to the State Fair Park's Cream Puff Pavilion. All of the proposals need the legislature's okay. They pared back Evers' capital budgets during his first term. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Federal Inflation Reduction Act could bring more than 24,000 jobs to Wisconsin over the next decade. That's according to a recent report by the Data for Progress think tank. The report assumes funding authorized in the law will be approved by future Congresses. The legislation also includes tax credits for businesses and homeowners to adopt renewable technologies. Kathy Kuntz is with Dane County's Office of Energy and Climate Change. She recently spoke to WPR's The Morning Show about the law.
Maybe the one challenge we have left here is the financing piece, because of course a tax credit is going to be a thing you claim on your taxes after the project is done. So there is a need for upfront financing.
Low to moderate income households could also receive grant funding for renewable projects. Data for Progress says more than 40% of the law's spending goes to boosting energy transmission and generation. Wisconsin lawmakers heard emotional testimony Tuesday from a woman who lost her husband to reckless driving. Abby Strong spoke in support of two bills that would increase penalties and jail time for people charged with that offense. Her husband, Reverend Aaron Strong, was killed in Milwaukee last October by a driver speeding down the wrong side of the road.
While these measures cannot completely eradicate reckless driving, it is a positive step to protect the citizens of Wisconsin, even if that means protecting us from our own. If just one family can be spared this heartache, these bills proudly serve their purposes.
Reckless driving has been surging nationwide since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the Department of Transportation, 119 Wisconsinites were killed in such crashes last year. Federal data shows food prices are starting 2023 much higher than they were a year ago, but restaurant prices haven't increased as much as food at grocery stores. Hope Kerwin explains why.
The Consumer Price Index measures inflation. For grocery store purchases, it was more than 11% higher than in 2022, but restaurant prices were up just over 8% from a year ago. Christine Hilmer from the Wisconsin Restaurant Association says that doesn't mean businesses aren't seeing higher food prices. She estimates supply costs have gone up about 25% for the industry.
Restaurants are very conscious on how much they can raise their menu prices, because at some point in time, consumers just are not going to either tolerate or be able to afford prices.
Hilmer says restaurants are choosing instead to take things off their menu or offering less staff-intensive items as ways to cut costs. She says many restaurants are already getting along on a shoestring, and 2023 could be another rough year as higher food prices are expected to continue. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, we've got a story about a very important product made here in Wisconsin, frozen pizza.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about pizza.
According to Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, mozzarella is the most popular cheese in the U.S., and Wisconsin producers make more of it than anyone else. As Jana Rose Schleiss tells us, a lot of that mozzarella ends up on pizza, making Wisconsin a leader in frozen pizza production as well.
In a manufacturing facility just off the interstate in Kaukauna, Wisconsin, more than 30 employees work in unison on a production line that churns out one of the state's growing exports, pizza.
So today we're doing our Brewpub Hardy Artisan. So it's a little bit of a thicker crust, which you can tell.
Matt Salvig is the advertising and promotions manager of Bernatello's Foods. He's showing me around their massive frozen pizza factory. Bernatello's produces different pizza brands, including Orv's, Roma, and Brewpub Lotsa Matza. Marketing manager Adriana Freilich has been with Bernatello's for years, spending her summer breaks as a teenager working on the production line. She explains just how fast that line moves.
So we can go from anywhere from 60 units a minute to 180 to 200.
Each unit is one pizza. That's...
Yep, a lot of pizzas.
A large digital tracker on the wall shows that 25,000 pizzas have been made so far today. The pizza making starts in the bakery, where dough is rolled out and pizza-sized circles are cut. Just like when you make Christmas cookies, the leftovers are collected and put back into the machine to roll out again. After the crusts are baked in massive ovens, they're placed on a rapidly moving production line, where sauce is dropped on top, followed by the cheese and other toppings. Wisconsin's frozen pizza industry is big and growing. Along with Bernatello's, national brands like Tombstone started in Wisconsin. There are also countless small shops. So what makes Wisconsin the frozen pizza capital? Pizza pairs great with another Wisconsin staple, beer. And many of the state's frozen pizza brands started in taverns. It might also have something to do with Wisconsin's long winters. The numbers support that claim. Bernatello's sells more frozen pizza from November to March. Back on the production line, Selvig and I get a glimpse of the ingredient that helps the frozen pizza industry thrive.
And here's where it all happens, right here, cheese.
20-pound blocks of mozzarella get cubed, shredded, and waterfall onto the pizza speeding down the line underneath. Wisconsin is practically synonymous with cheese. We make it, we eat it, we study it.
I said, cheese manufacturer would send us shredded cheese, and then we bake it on a pizza and tell them how it performed.
Mark Johnson is a scientist with the University of Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research.
Did it melt? Did it stretch? What was the color of the blisters? How many blisters it formed? What was the chew characteristic? What was the flavor?
The research done by Johnson and his colleagues helps producers develop a cheese that fits the needs of the frozen pizza manufacturers. Johnson has seen the frozen pizza industry in Wisconsin expand.
I started here 40 years ago. A frozen pizza was like your last resort.
That's no longer the case. According to the American Frozen Food Institute, people in the U.S. ate 1.4 billion frozen pizzas last year, making it an over $6 billion industry. Johnson says there's a big reason frozen pizza businesses have thrived in the state.
We just have this culture in Wisconsin. We make cheese. We make the best cheese. You got to make the best pizzas, right?
Looking at the production line, Freilich remarks on how much has changed since she first spent her summers making frozen pizzas.
This is light years beyond where they were.
And Bernatello's has no intention of slowing down. helping secure Wisconsin's place as the frozen pizza capital.
Jana Rose Schleiss brought us that story on pizza production in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And don't forget, you can find more news anytime at WPR.org. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.